Now they're supposed to do the exact opposite. Oh, Johnny, you brought software to school. Well, don't share it. Oh, no, sharing is wrong. Sharing means you're a pirate. A friend of mine who has kids in elementary school told me that a kid brought back a piece of paper to sign where she was supposed to sign a promise that the kid would not do any unauthorized copying. She crossed it out before she signed the paper. So this attempt to crush the spirit of helping your neighbor is the most evil thing about non-free software. And this, I believe, is the most important reason why software should be free. That is freedom too, the freedom to help your neighbor by distributing copies to others. Freedom three is the freedom to help build your community by publishing an improved version so others can benefit from your work. People used to say to me, if the software is free, then nobody's going to get paid to work on it, so nobody will work on it. Obviously, they were confused by those two meanings of the word free. They thought that meant that nobody can ever pay for a copy. But as it may, that was their theory. Here, that theory, observed fact. And we see that there are at least paid to develop free software, and there are thousands of people working on free software as volunteers who will work on free software. When I read Emacs, after a while, I got a message saying, I found a bug, and here's a patch. And I got another message saying, here's code to add a new feature. And another bug fix, and another new feature, and another, until this help was pouring in on me so fast that just using all the help I was offered was a big job. Microsoft doesn't have this problem. Eventually, people noted this phenomenon, that when a free program catches on, you often get a community of developers helping to improve it. In the 1980s, people said that free software would have to be garbage. In the 1990s, free software got a reputation for being powerful and reliable. We even found that people started to use free software not because they appreciated free... Is this...
That's finished.
Ah, too bad.
But I'm taking that.
Not because they appreciated freedom, but just because they wanted a powerful, reliable system that was exciting and cool and they could get cheap. Well, in some ways it's nice to have more users because our software has practical advantages, but it's also a problem that awareness of freedom is getting lost in our community. In fact, many people in our community have never even heard that there is an issue of freedom here. It's never occurred to them that anyone could think of it that way. There is even, in 1998, some of those people formed another movement, which they call the open source movement. Now, as you've heard, in the free software movement, whose philosophy I am presenting now, we talk about both the practical advantages and the ethical and social advantages of freedom. In the open source movement, they don't talk about it as free. They stick strictly to practical advantages, short-term convenience. They don't talk about ethical issues. They don't regard this as an ethical issue. So the disagreement is fundamental. Nonetheless, what they do is similar enough to what we do that we can do some practical work, and we do work together some. But the philosophies are as different as you can get. So, for that reason, I ask people when they talk about me and the GNU project not to describe us as open source. That's the name of the wrong movement. That's not the movement we are part of. As for you, you'll choose your own views. Now, you might support the free software movement. You might support the open source movement. You might disagree with us both. You're going to decide where you stand. But I'd like to invite you, please, to support the free software movement. If you agree with what I'm saying, then please show your agree using the term free software. The term is our banner. By saying free software is in other languages, you are waving our banner. The banner that says, this is a matter of freedom and community, and they are important. If you say open source, you're saying, well, we want to have powerful, reliable software, and that's all we care about. In any case, if you number three, that causes practical material harm, because phenomenon of community enhancement can't happen, and we don't get the powerful, reliable software. But it also causes psychosocial harm, which affects the spirit of scientific cooperation, the idea that we are working together to advance human knowledge, a spirit that is vital for progress in human, because we have to build on each other's work to make progress. If we have to redo each other's work, then we waste a lot of time and progress is slow. So, those are the three freedoms that distinguish free software from non-free software and the reasons why they are important. If you, a particular user, have all of these freedoms, then the program is free software for you. Now, why do I formulate the definition that way in terms of a single arbitrarily chosen user? Why don't I just say the program is free software because it gives these freedoms? The reason is that sometimes the same code can be free for some people and non-free for others. Now that might seem strange, so let me illustrate it with an example. The biggest example I know of is the X Window system. It was developed at MIT in the 80s and released under a license that would give you these freedoms. So if you got that version under that license, you had all these freedoms. It were for you then. But among those X Windows were various computer manufacturers that distributed Unix systems. They took X, they made the changes necessary to make it run on their platform, and they compiled it. And they took the binaries and put them into their Unix system, and they distributed all that to the user under the same non-disclosure agreement. So the users were getting just the binaries with no freedom at all. This is a paradoxical situation. If you ask the question, is X free software or not, the answer depended on where you made the measurement. If you made the measurement coming out of a developers group, you'd say, ah, yes, I observe all these freedoms here. But if you made the measurement among the users, you'd say, most of these users don't have these freedoms. So it's not free software. Well, the developers of X did not consider this a problem. You see, they were not aiming to give users freedom. They just wanted a big success, and they got a de facto standard. They were happy to see these companies distributing non-versions of X. People were using our software. They had an essentially egotistical success. But in developing the GNU system, our goal was to give users freedom. That's what that success means for GNU. If the same thing that happened to X were to happen to GNU, for us that would be failure. And so I looked for a way to stop that from happening. A way that would work using the existing laws, since we were hardly in a position to convince anyone to change any laws. And the method I came up with is called copyleft. We call it copyleft because we take copyright and we flip it over. I hesitate to try to pronounce the Polish equivalent, but the same joke works in Polish, I discovered last night. So Here's how it works. First, put a copyright notice reminding people that the program is copyrighted. It means by default that it's prohibited to change or redistribute the program. But then we say, you're authorized to copy and redistribute this program. You're authorized to change the program and extend it. You're authorized to distribute the modified and extended versions. But there is a condition. Any program you distribute that contains any piece of this must, as a whole, be distributed under these conditions, no more or less. That whoever gets a copy from you gets the same freedoms from you that you got from me. So freedom for all users, anybody from taking away the freedom for somebody else. You see, there those companies, they got X, they stripped off the freedom, and they passed along the software without the freedom. Copyleft says they can't do that. They're welcome to distribute our software, but they can't strip off the freedom. The users have to get the freedom just as the company did. Copyleft means that the freedom and the software become legally inseparable. Wherever the software goes, the freedom goes with it, every user. In effect, those become inalienable rights for all the users of our software. Now, the specific implementation of copyleft that we use most of the time is called the GNU General Public License. It's a license that's designed, or GNU GPL for short. It's designed so that you can drop it into a program without changing it and put notices on the source files. You have to put the notices on the source files if you want to do this right. It's very important. And then the program is copylefted. And since all these programs are copied back the same license, you can take code from any one of them and merge it into another. And in fact, more than 60% of software packages are released under the GNU GPL. We have a kinds of copyleft license. There's one called the Lesser GPL that we used for a few specially chosen libraries when we decided it's a strategic advantage to do so. It's somewhat more permissive than the GPL. We also have a copyleft license for manuals called the GNU Free Documentation License. And it's designed to encourage commercial publishers to publish free commercial manuals. Of course, this is free as in freedom, because I expect that they will continue to sell the printed copies, and that's fine. The issue here is to give the users freedom. It's not about who pays money to who. That's not an ethical issue as far as I'm concerned. And in fact, it seems to be working to some extent. We have more free documentation now. There's some six or so commercially published manuals under this and another free documentation license. It's very important for free software to have free documentation. Please, when you're considering buying a manual for free software, check the copying permissions before you buy it. If the manual respects your freedom, then buy it. If it does not respect your freedom, then say, I don't want this. Make it free, then I'll buy it. Say that to the publishers. If enough people start saying that to the publishers will respond more. So there is copyleft.